The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Chagigah has been dedicated in memory of Hacham Raful Muhaddeb ben Garaz and Marie Muhaddeb bat Jamile. Ruach Hashem Tenihem Began Eden Elyon. Amen. Dedicated by Dr. Isaac and Lily Muhaddeb. Hashem Yishmerem V'chayim. Amen.
Daf Chav Gimal. Today's daf is being studied in the Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in the Nishmat Amanawah Sheneftar B'Katsul Yamin V'Shanim Azra Ben Tune Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tenihenu Began Eden Utin Nishmato Tzlura B'Sol HaHayim. Amen. Today's daf is being studied L'Hatzlahat Yosef Ben Simha Shimsachen V'Sechetov B'Anei Edohim V'Adam. That Be'azat Hashem he should find favor and Be'azat Hashem be successful in his tefillot. We have today, we're starting on Chavet, three lines from the bottom, and Nose et Midras. We learned in the Mishnah and Nose et Midras, Nose et Terumah. Said if a person is holding Midras in one hand, that would be like the shoe of a Zav, which is an Avatum'ah. He's allowed to carry Terumah in his other hand. Meaning you have Terumah in a earthenware barrel. So we didn't make any Gezerot. One can carry both simultaneously. However, Avalo et HaKodesh. However, he has a barrel of Kodesh in an earthenware vessel. It's going to be assumed for him to carry in one hand Midras, and the other hand the barrel of Kodesh. So the Gemara says, Kodesh my tamalo. What's the reason why you can't carry Kodesh? Mishum ma'aseh shehaya, because of a story that happened. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel ma'aseh be'had shehaya ma'avir havit shel yayin kodesh b'makom b'makom. There was a fellow who was transporting a barrel of yayin, of wine, that was kodesh. He was transporting it from place to place. V'nifseka ritzu'ah shel sandalo. So a ritzu'ah, the strap of his shoe, it broke off as he was walking. His shoe broke. So what happened? Venatla. So he picked up the strap. Viniha alpi habit. So he just put it on top of the barrel. And what happened? Venafla lavira habit. And the strap ended up falling within the airspace of the habit. Venitmet. And what happened? He caused the Kodesh to become tamen. Obviously, we're talking about over here that the guy was a Midras Azav. Therefore, his shoe had a status of avatumah. So this is the Maaseh Shaya. Tosfot points out, you have to say that the strap that fell off had to be a significant strap. Had to have a shi'ur of a keli. Otherwise, it's not going to be able to be mitameh. In any, which means it was still usable. You could sew it back to the shoe, for example. So in any event, botasha'a, at that moment, Amru, the rabbis decreed that noset a midras, noset a terumah, avalo et a kodesh. Listen, but now on, you can't hold the midras in one hand and the kodesh in the other hand. But they didn't make the gezerah on terumah. So the Gemara says, iyache terumah nameh. If that's the case, so make it on terumah as well. Because the logic should be the same thing. The point is, we're worried that part of the midras is going to end up in the airspace of the keli ha'eres. It's going to be tamed. So if that's the gezerah, what's the difference if it's kodesh? What's the difference if it's terumah? The concern is over here that, like the story happened over here, which is the story that happened over here, very easily could have happened with terumah. The point is that the ritzua ended up falling into the airspace. So why are they only making gezerah by kodesh? So the Gemara says, Hamani, who's the author of this mishnah, of this statement? Rav Hananya ben Akabia. He damar. He says, "Lo asru ela biyarden ubesfina ukmaase shehaya." We're going to learn now a law by Paraduma, and we're going to see that there was a gezerah made by Paraduma, but the gezerah was made according to Hananya ben Akavya, limiting the exact case that happened. They made a gezerah exactly on a boat in the Yarden, because that's exactly where the problem arose, but not in another body of water, not off a boat. So you see, the Hananya ben Akavya holds, when you make a gezerah as such after a ma'aseh, The gezerah is exactly like the maaseh. And therefore, in this case over here, what was the guy carrying? Kodesh. Finished. So they made a gezerah, maaseh shaya. There's other opinions of the rabbis. They say, no, you go with the spirit of the gezerah. And therefore, it's not only Yarden, it's any water. It's not only a boat, even if the guy's walking across. Which means they're more flexible in the gezerah. So the Gemara is going to explain that. Mahi, what is this gezerah? The Tanya, we have a braita. Lo yisa adam mehatat. Mehatat is the waters of the paraduma. Ve'efer hatat, that's the ashes of the paraduma. Ve'yavirem biyarden ubesvina. You should not bring them in a boat, transport them across the Jordan. Or for that matter, ve'lo ya'amod besad ze v'yizrekim lesad acher. You should not stand on one side of the Jordan River and throw it across to somebody else on the other side. Ve'lo yishitem apnei ha'mayim. Nor should you float them on the river across. Ve'lo yirkav al gabei behema. Right? Do not ride them on the back of an animal. Ve'lo al gabei havero. Or not to put it on the person's back. Ela imken ayu raglav nogot bekarka. Unless the person that you're giving it to, his feet are on solid ground. Aval ma'avirim al gabei hagesher, then hoshesh. You can transport them over a bridge, and you don't have to worry, because the bridge again, his feet are on the ground, even though it's over water, it's okay. Echad ha'yarden. And when we say the Jordan River, we mean not only the Jordan River. Ve'echad sh'ar naharot, also other bodies of water. Which means this opinion holds that the hakamim, they are flexible in the gezerah. They don't want you to bring any para aduma material, not in any bodies of water, floating it. Basic rule is you got to have your feet on the ground. Rav Hananya ben Akiva omer, Rav Hananya ben Akiva says, lo asru ela biyarden ubesefina uchmaaseh shehaya. They only were osir Jordan River specifically in a boat, like the maaseh that happened. What was the story? My maaseh shehaya, the Amar of Yehuda, Amar of maaseh b'adam echad, shehaya ma'avir mehatat v'efer hatat biyarden ubesefina. It was transported on a boat in the Jordan. V'nimsa kezayit met tahut bekarkiatash shel sefina. Oh, he found that there was a kezayit of a dead body lodged in the bottom of the boat. And what happened? He was ma'ahil over it. Once he was ma'ahil, he made oil over it. Now already the efer hapara and the efer hatat became, the me'ahatat became tameh. Ba'ota sha'a amru, lo yisa adam me'ahatat ve'efer hatat ve'yavirim b'yarden b'sfina. So they made a gezerah at that point. So the Hananya ben Akiva says, and that was a gezerah. Everything else mutar. Boat in the Jordan. So you see, the Hananya ben Akiva holds the maaseh was this. The gezerah is exactly that. Right. Similarly, the story was a guy was carrying kodesh in a habit. His ritzuah fell off. It fell into the kodesh. New gezerah. Only guy cannot carry kodesh with the midrash in the other hand. I would about teruma. Didn't happen. That's not the maaseh shaya. Similarly, in the story over here of the boat. He limited it to that. Where Hakamim, they came along and said, no. They said, basically, the rule is, we're going to be get the spirit over here. You cannot transport the Efer Hatat, or the Mech Hatat, in the air. Because that was the story. A boat, get out of the ground. So, how do you do it? Floating it underwater, Asur. Putting it on the back of an animal, Asur. Throwing it across, Asur. Why? The rule is, it's got to be on the ground, because that was the story, the general story that happened. Mashiach of Hananya says, no, we go general story. Maaseh shehaya. So comes the Gemara and says, right, look at that. She ela biyarden velo b'shan neharot aval mashitin al panav. But according to Rav Hananya ben Akiva, you can float it across, because again, the story only happened in a boat. And for that matter, you can throw it across. Because again, it's got to be kemaaseh shehaya. Comes Gemara and continues. Imaylehu. Sandal tameh. Okay, we know that you tell me that on one hand you cannot carry a madras, the sandal that's tameh. Sandal tahor mahu. What about a sandal that's tahor? Which means, did they make such a gezerah that no shoes at all? Not even sandal tahor, atu sandal tameh? Question. Next question. Habit petuha. Okay, we know we made a gezerah for sure when the barrel of Heres is opened. Because that's you have a gezerah, it's going to go into the airspace. Habib Situma Mahu. What about if it's sealed? Do we make a gezerah sealed atu petuha? Question. Avar. Yes, so you have to say it's one gezerah. You have to say that at the time that they made the gezerah, they will say all these things. So that's considered hada gezerah. When we say it's gezerah the gezerah, that means they sat and made a gezerah one period of time, and then later on they made another gezerah against something else. That's why it's gezerah gezerah. But if at the inception they said this is asur, that's hada gezerah. Avar v'nasa mahu. And let's say the guy carried it, meaning he carried the madras in one hand with the kodesh in the other hand. What do we treat now the Kodesh? Do we automatically metamet regardless of what happened because he went against the enactment? Or do we say, no, if he was careful, it's going to be tar. So it's mahalokim. Rav Ila Amar, im adar v'nasa tameh. He said, that's it. They punish him. He went against the tekana over here. Now the Kodesh is going to become tameh. Rav Zera Amar, adar v'nasa tahor. He said, no, if he carried it. And obviously we know the guy was careful. It is going to be tahor. So the other questions we didn't answer. The other questions remain in abeyance. But the last question is actually a machloket between Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Ila. Comes Gemara and continues. Kelim and igmanim b'tahara. We learned in the Mishnah. You have a keli, and the craftsman was careful that when it was finished, meaning when it became a keli, now it's able to be mekabel tum'ah. He was careful that it should not come in contact with any tum'ah. So we said, still for Kodesh, you got to dip it in the mikveh after the keli is finished. So the Gemara says, "De gamrinu man." Okay, now we want to get into details. Who finished this keli? Who's the craftsman over here? Who's making the keli? Idem de gamrinu haver. If you tell me tamir hakam haver, so it's careful betumah v'tara lamelu tevila. What do you got to make tevila for? The guy's careful. We trust him. Therefore, there should be no problem. Ela the gamrinu amaris. Hey, tamir amaris did it. What I says, nigmarin betara kari lehu. How can you say kelim and nigmarin betara by amaris? He himself is tamir. So can amaris ever make a kli and be nigmar betara, finish betara? Impossible. So the Gemara says, amar abba shila, amar abba tamar shmuel le'olam the gamrinu haver. So talk about it, tamir hakam. Umishum tsinura da amar is denafal. We're worried that maybe the spit of amaris, right? Maybe it landed on the keli. So what are you worried about? So you're worried about the rook of amaris is able to be mitameh, a gazav. The only question is when did it fall? Gemara says. When did it fall? When did the rock of the amaris fall on the keli? If it fell on before the keli was finished, who? It's not a keli, so therefore it should not be mitameh. If you tell me it fell on the keli after the keli was finished, you just told me mizhar zahir bu. You told me it's keli manikmarim betara. That means he's careful. So what's the case? Really, I tell you, the spit fell on the keli before it was finished. The dilma bi'idna de gamre adayin lahahi. And the concern is that when the keli is finished, the spit is still going to be on the keli, and it's still going to be moist. And as long as it's moist, it has the ability to be mitameh. So he was careful. But he didn't realize that the spit that was on it from before, when it didn't have ramification, now is still on it, and now already is able to mitameh. Therefore, that's the hashash. So you have kelim and gmarim betara. The deen is you have to put it in the mikveh for kodesh. That is. So now the gemara makes a diyuk. Tevila in he'arif shemesh lo. The mishnah says you have to make tevila. Now normally we make tevila. There's a deen of tevil yom. Well, you dip it in the day, and you have to wait until the night. You have to wait till the night of Shemesh. You have to wait till it gets dark. Here from our Mishnah, it's mashma that law doesn't apply. You just dip it in the day for Kodesh, and you can use it immediately. Because the Mishnah just says, Sarich Tevila, Tovdim. It's mashma, Tevila, and you can use it miyad. You don't need Ha'arev Shemesh. So the Gemara says, Matnitin, Delo, Kerbili, Aizer. our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Now, before we can see how the Mishnah is not going to be the Eliezer, we have to learn a couple of lines over here in the laws of Parah Aduma, and then we'll go back and see why it cannot be Rabbi Eliezer. So Gemara says, Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Shefoferet. Shefoferet is a tube. Shehatcha lehatat. The fellow that was making the Parah Aduma, he wants to store the ashes of the Parah Aduma in a shefoferet, in a tube. So what did he do? Hatcha. He cut it from a bamboo or something like that. So he cut the shefoferet. The Bili Aizer Omer, the Bili Aizer says, Yitbol miyad. He says you have to take the shefoferet, you have to dip it in the mikveh immediately. Rashi, Yitbol miyad. Actually, let's go to the one before that. Lehatat. Latet betocho efer para. You want to use the shofaret as a receptacle to put the efer para on it. Yidbol miyad shekol tashmishe para ta'asuin bichli amikabel tum'a ti'unin tebila. So that's the rule, which means this is a kid that's mikabel tum'a. So the rule is before you use it, you got to dip it in the mikveh. Ve'kodem shi'ariv shimsho yishtamesh behem lepara. And the hadush is you dip it in the mikveh and you can use it immediately during the day. For Parah Aduma, you don't have to wait until the night. So Gemara says to be Yeshua Amir, Yitma veharkach Yitbol. Rabbi Yeshua says, not even more. Mitamer on purpose. This shefofer that you have, make it tameh, and then go dip it. We'll see exactly why does he say to go out of your way to mitamet. Vavina and Baz, and Gemara says, okay, what are we talking? Vehatcha man. What are you dipping it according to the Bili Aizer for? According to the Yeshua, I know why you're dipping it, because you're mitamet. But according to the Eliezer, what happened to the shefoferet? Who cut the shefoferet? If you tell me a person that's careful, what tum avatara cut it? What are you being built in the first place? The guy's a shomer himself. Ve'ela dehatcha ama'aris. And I will tell you what ama'aris cut. Beha. Lemar bi Yeshua yitma v'yitbol hatameh v'ka'eh. If it's Ama'aris, what does the bi Yeshua have to say? Mitameh it. If Ama'aris is cutting the shefoferet, it's tameh already, because he's tameh. So if it's a haver, what do you need to be there in the first place? If you're telling me it's Ama'aris, it's tameh automatically, what does the bi Yeshua have to say? Go out of your way to mitameh it. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rabba Matna, Amar Shmuel Le'olam Dehadcha Haver. Really, I'll tell you, somebody that's careful, cut it. Umishum Tzinuna Da'ama Aris. Again, you're worried about the spit of Da'ama Aris that might have landed on the Shuvaveret. Gemara asks the same question. Denafal Emat. When did the spit fall on the keli? Irem Amikamed Le'hadche. If it fell on before he cut it. Halav manau, it's not a keli. So therefore, the spit has no ramification. Ve'la batar dehatchem. It's talking about after he cut it, made it a keli. Hemizah zayirba. He's careful. After, obviously, he's working for Parah Aduma. Of course, he's gonna be careful. Gemara says ne'olam kamed lehatchem. Really, it fell on before and dilma be'edah dehatchem adayin lahai. And you're concerned that it might be still moist when it became a keli, and then the tumah is gonna come on it. That's why you have to dip it in the mikveh. So let's go back. Kotel be the ayazir. The issue over here is, you're worried about the rok of Ama'aris that was on it from before, and it might be still on it, and therefore you have to put it in the mikveh, and you can use it immediately. Whereas according to Rabbi Yeshua, no. He tells you, go out of your way to be mitameh di keli. That's the mahluk to Rabbi Yeshua by para. Now we analyze. According to Rabbi Yeshua, everything makes sense. Why? Then he says you have to mitameh it. This will make a heker for the tzedukim. Why? What are the tzedukim? The tzedukim had a chumrah by Parah Aduma. They held that the Parah Aduma cannot be officiated by a tevul yom. They said, davka, you have to wait until Ha'erev Shemesh. But if somebody became tameh in the day, you have to wait the night, and then you can't do Parah Aduma at night, so you really have to wait till the following day. They held Ha'erev Shemesh, because it says you need a tahor. Ve'asaf ish tahor. Tahor means it's got to be conclusively tahor. If he's a Tumul Yom, he's still pending. So therefore, that was the Hiddush, the Chumrah of the Tzedukim. The rabbis, when it came to Parah Adumah, Lehotzi Miliban Shel Tzedukim, they would specifically do things to show them that they're wrong. Mm-hmm. What would they do? In the case of Parah Adumah, they would go out of their way to Mitameh.
Okay.
On purpose. The people that were involved in the Parah Adumah, and in this case over here you see the Kelim, and Dafka dip it in the day, make it a Tevul Yom, and Dafka use them during the day to show the Tzedukim that they don't know what they're talking about, that the derasha is not a derasha. Now, where did the rabbis learn that they were allowed to do Parah Adumah with a Tevul Yom? So Rashi brings down the derasha. Look at Rashi. Lehotzi midiban shel tzedukim shehayu omrim b'me'urbe shemesh hayta na'asit. Right? The tzedukim held, it's got to be done b'erev shemesh. It has to be done. You have to wait till nightfall, and like I told you, you can't do the Parah Adumah at night, so you have to actually wait till the following day. Well, Rabbanan, according to the rabbis, Tevul Yom kasher ba. Tevul Yom is kasher. Denaf kalum rebuya dekra. Because according to the rabbis, they have an extra pasuk. V'za ta'or ala tameh. The pasuk says that the ta'or will sprinkle on the tameh. Ta'or michlal shu tameh. Limed al Tevul Yom shekasher bepara. Which means, the Gemara says, Veza Tahor. Which means, if you tell me Tahor, what do you have to tell me Tahor for? Because in the Perasha before that, there's all Pesukim that talk about the guy's Tahor. So what do you tell me? We don't talk about the Tahor guy. Which means, who's going to do it? The Tameh guy's going to do it? So the Gemara says, she says, Mechdi, Betahor Askinat Vete. Till now, the whole Perasha is talking about the Tahor. Dikhtim. Le'ilmi ne'evidakah, Ezov, Etavad, Bamaim, Ish, Tahor. למה לי למהדר ולמכתב ויזה טהור? מה זה תעשה ויזה טהור? ולא מתחיל על הטהור גאי. לכתוב ויזה על הטמא. Just say ויזה על הטמא. Who's doing it? הטמא גאי? The טהור גאי is doing it. אלא טהור כל דהו. That's what it means. Meaning, somebody that's טהור in any amount. Even a תבול יום. There's minimum טהרה. אז כחן תבול יום זה כלי טהור. נהר מנות על תבול יום זכור די טהור. וכתיב ולחס במים וטהר. So therefore, we have Pesukim that teach us that Tevul Yom has minimal Tahara, but he's called Tahor still. So therefore, according to the Hakamim, he's okay. Now, look at the next Rashi. Mishtamad Rabbi Yeshua. Habatzlicha de Tameh. I understand according to Rabbi Yeshua that says you have to be Metameh, the guy. I want Metameh to Shavu Feret. Hayru Dika Ikel et Tzedukim. Share Tum'u Tum'a Gemura. Hatzlicha Erev Shemesh. Which means, forget about the rock. The rock issue, not enough. We want to mitameh the item, a type of tum'ah that normally would require he'erev shemesh, and not do the he'erev shemesh. So therefore you have a care for the tzedukim. So therefore, what did Rabbi Yeshua say? We want to show the tzedukim, therefore go out of your way, mitameh this item, this shevoferet. Normally you'd say you need Erev Shemesh. I don't do Erev Shemesh. Beautiful. Now that Tzedukim already, you showed them up. Look at the Gemara. First wide line. One line before they get wide. Bishtamah Rabbi Yoshua. Hayu dikai kara de Tzedukim bitnan. Mitameen ayut ha-kohen ha-soref et ha-para lehotzi miliban shel Tzedukim shayu omrin. Bimorube Shemesh hayta na'asit ila Rabbi Eliezer. I amar bishtamah be'alma ba'inan ha-Erev Shemesh. Which means, if you're going to tell me according to Rabbi Eliezer that normally when you have kelim hanigmarim betahara, like the case of Amishnah, where the guy was making a regular keli, so we said what? We said for Kodesh you have to dip it in the mikveh. But if you're going to tell me that normally kelim hanigmarim betahara, you have to wait till nightfall before you use the keli, hainu dikai kera letzedukim. So then we understand where the hekef and tzedukim is, because here it's kelim hanigmarim betahara, and we're saying why you can use it immediately. So there's it, so it'll be a kifin tzedukim. Because normally the law is you gotta wait until nightfall. Mm-hmm. And here you can use it immediately. So therefore that would be telling us what? That our Mishnah cannot be the Bili Aizid. Because our Mishnah says when you have a keli, shenigmarim betahara, yitbol. Yitbol must be use it immediately. Well, if you're using all kelim that were dipped, you can use them immediately, So then there's no hekel for the tzedukim in this case. Mm-hmm. Because every keli that's nikmar betara, that you're worried about the rok of ama'aris that spit on it, and maybe dried up, that didn't dry up and all that. If every keli like that you can use during the day, so what's the hekel for, if you're dealing with tum'at, this is not a regular tum'at d'oraita we're talking about. It's a shemid, the ama'aris spit on it, when it wasn't a keli, and it still remained wet. When the keli was finished, there's not a deoraita tumah, meaning it's a hashash. It's a tumah, the rabbis put a tumah on this. All the mishnayos tumah, tumah, the rabbanan over here. Mm. And if the deen is in such a case, that you have to wait until ha'erev shemesh, oh, so now we understand the hekev to the tzedukim. That normally in such a tumah, it's ha'erev shemesh, but when it comes to baradumah, you can use it right away. Hainu de'ika hekera, the tzedukim. Clear? Let's read that inside. Bishtama, yema bishtama ba'ama ba'inin ha'erev shemesh. You say always kedima nikmanim batahara. You need ha'erev shemesh. Ha'inu tika kedima tzedukim. Ela yema ba'ama lo ba'inin ha'erev shemesh. But if you're going to say that no, kedima nikmanim batahara, you could use them right away. Ma yekera le tzedukim ika. So what's their care? Which means every keli like this, you can use immediately. So you're not showing the tzedukim anything different over here. So according to Rabbi Yehoshua, he solved that problem. Because he went and was mitameh the keli. Not a regular, tumah d'oraita. They were mitameh the keli. Now, that keli normally needs erev shemesh. And they're not using erev shemesh, tzedukim are showing up. But according to the Bidi Ayah, said, no, we're not mitameh the keli. We just have the regular tum'ah of kelim and nigmarim betara. This should fulfill it, that they made for the parah duma, just gedin of kelim and nigmarim betara. The haver made the keli, but still we say you have to dip it because of the hashash of the tzinnura, the ama'ares that fell on it before it was a keli and still not when it became a keli. Now, if you're going to tell me that always the law is that you need ha'erev shemesh, oh, ha'erudika ha'ekeran the tzedukim. But if you're going to tell me that you don't need ha'erev shemesh, which means always in a kelim and gmanim betara, you can use it immediately. So it's what are you showing the tzedukim? Every case of kelim and gmanim betara, using it immediately. So therefore, the Gemara wants to conclude, here's the end of the proof, that must be the Bilei Ezer is not the author of our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says kelim and gmanim betara, all you need is tevilah, and it's mutar immediately. But must be according to Bilei Ezer, kelim and gmanim betara is ha'erev shemesh you need. Not like our Mishnah, and that's the hekeh that you have for the tzedukim. Why in this case you don't have erev shemesh? So matnitin the law can be the Ezer. No, that Gemara says no. Gemara says Amar Rav Asaua ketameh sheretz. So I'll tell you like this. Really, the Mishnah is the Bili Ezer, and you don't need the erev shemesh. Kelim and nigmarim betahara, you don't need erev shemesh. Oh, so what's the hekel for the tzedukim? Because when it came to para aduma, this kelim and nigmarim betahara, the rabbis put a tumah on it. It's a rabbinical tumah. So we always thought the tumah is what? The ama'aris, gezerah, he might have spit on it. But what level of tumah did they put on it? They treated by para aduma this tumah, kelim and nigmarim betahara, tumah sheretz. A sheretz is an avatum'ah. Okay? The avatum'ah touches a keli, it makes the keli a rishon. Normally, a keli like this that became tameh from a sheretz would need he'arev shemesh. That's a regular law. Keli that became tameh from a sheretz needs he'arev shemesh. And all the tzedukim knew this. They knew that this should fulfill it, the rabbis are giving it tum'at sheretz. And still, they're dipping it in the day, and they're using it in the day, so you have a hekel. Which means when it came to parah dumah, the tum'ah that they put on, which is the rabbis are making up this tum'ah, there's no tum'ah here, it's all conjured up by the hachamim. The sheretz really didn't touch it, but we're saying kelim anigmanim batara, we're going to make a humrah that is a, you have to treat it that maybe such and such a thing happens, we're putting a tum'ah on it. So what level you could, the rabbis could put any type of tum'ah they want on it, by the way. Like we're going to see in the city, they can put tumat mit on the keli if they wanted to. But at this point, the Gemara is saying they're treating this keli like a sheretz. And again, I repeat, and the tzedukim knew that they're treating it like a sheretz. And therefore, the tzedukim would have expected, okay, it's tumat sheretz, the rabbis put on this, should fulfill it, let's say, and if we have to wait until nightfall. And what happened? They used it immediately. Look at Rashi, top line. asa'uha ketum ketame sheretz le'olam be'alma lo ba'arif shemesh le'bili ha'ezer le'kelim ha'regunim betara. You know, I tell you, the Mishnah is like le'bili ha'ezer, you don't need ha'arif shemesh le'kelim ha'regunim betara. Va'afidu ha'che ika ikera le'fi shofaret shel hatat, the shofaret of the para aduma, asa'u ke'ilu nag'u be'sheretz, they treated it as if it was touched by a sheretz le'inyan minyan rishon v'sheni. Meaning, l'inyan d'tumah, meaning a sheretz is a av, so it touches the keli, make a rishon. Hilkach ilav de paran nasip betebul yom, zuay tatzlich ha'erev shemesh. It wasn't for the special deen that para adumah is done during the day, this keli would need ha'erev shemesh. So you have a keth for the tzedukim. Good? Kevaras ela me'ata, according to this, lo titma adam. According to what you're saying, that they treated it like a sheretz, it should not have the ability to metame adam. What does this mean? Look at Rashi. Lo tetma adam. That tameh sheretz lav avatumahu. Someone that becomes tameh from a sheretz is not an av. Someone that comes tameh from a sheretz is a rishon. They don't metame adam. A rishon cannot metame adam. A rishon is metame ochlin umashkin. שלא מצינו תומה לאדם וכלים הנוגעים בתמה שקיבל תומה מאחרים חוץ מתמה מת. I will see that now. So the Gemara says, what's the problem? So it won't be בתמה אדם. Okay, so it won't be בתמה אדם. The Gemara says, no, that can't be. Alama, Tanya, then why did we learn in the Vraita? Chotcha ומטבילה טעון טבילה. The one that even cut the שפופרת, the deen is, he needs טבילה. What are you talking? Why should he need tevilah? If you're telling me that you're treating the shifoferet like something that got tameh from the sheretz, that's a rishon. A rishon cannot metameh adam. So why does it say in the paraduma rules that the chotchas go to the mikveh? Mm-hmm. What's the question? So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So we'll have to upgrade the tumah. Ve'ela asa'ua ketameh met. Will treat the shifoferet like something that became tameh from a met. Okay, a met is aviavot atumah. Aviavot. Now the shifoferet becomes avatumah. Oh, now the guy that's cutting the shifoferet touched an av. He becomes a rishon, which can, that can happen. Av is metameh adam. And therefore, that's why we need tevilah. Very good, which means, again, we're all analyzing which tum'ah did the rabbis put on the shifoferet, but it's got to fit in with all the laws of parah adumah that we know. Mm-hmm. So it's av tum'ah, beautiful. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, then you're treating like an av tum'ah that came tameh from a mit. So the kaulah, the guy, not only the guy, and the shifoferet, is going to need sprinkling of the parah adumah on the third day and on the seventh day, which is not going to be enough to go to the mikveh. When there's tumat mit in the picture, you need sprinkling of the parah adumah on day three and day seven. Okay, so maybe you do it. Gemara says, no, alama tanya. So why does it say in the Braita, chotcha umatbila ta'un tevila. Tevila in. Haza'a shilishi v'shivi'i. No. So you see, clearly you don't need haza'a. So what do you talk? What's the case? Gemara answers, ela. Again, the rabbis are making up this tumah, correct?
Yes.
So they'll say, we're going to treat this shefoferet as it has tumat met on its seventh day. There's a tumah like that in the world, which was on the seventh day of the process after the paraduma, the guy still considered tameh met. What does that guy have to do to get the tameh off? Mikveh. He's past his hazah. Which is the rabbis considered. Anybody that touches the shifoferet, the shifoferet is considered as if it came in contact with a mit. And therefore has a deen of avatumah. And therefore anybody that comes in contact with it, as it came in contact with a mit, and therefore it's going to be tameh mit. But what? Asa'ua ketameh mit b'shivi'i shelo. So tameh mit b'shivi'i shelo. Does he need hana'a? Haza'a? No. He just needs mikveh. So that's what they did over here. Gemara says, what are you talking about? How can you say that? Vatanya, we have a braita. Me'olam lo chidshu davar bepara. They never said any type of chidush when it came to para aduma. Regarding the laws of tumah v'tara, when the rabbis made their stringencies, they made a lot of stringencies by para aduma. But they never said anything out of the ordinary, a hadush. This is a hadush. You're creating a new tumah that we never saw before. A tumah that you're considering an item tameh met on the seventh day. It's a hadush. We don't find that tumah in other places. So again, how could you tell me that that's? We go. I want to review where we get to this point. How did we get to this point? We're all trying to answer for the Bidiyazid. The Bidiyazid, what was their care for the Tzedukim? I'll tell you what their care is. Normally, Kelim HaNigmanim B'Tahara, like the case of the Mishnah, you dip it right after you finish with it and use it immediately. Good. Here, by Parah Adumah, it's Kelim HaNigmanim B'Tahara, the shofer, the guy cuts, Kelim HaNigmanim, Haver did it, everything's fine. But here, the rabbis considered it as if it came in contact with a mit. Now when it comes in contact with the mit, you don't have the Tvul Yom rule. And still what are we saying? Dip it during the day and use it immediately. So the Gemara says, hold it. We got a side point now. You're treating it that it kept tameh from a mit. It should need hazza'ah. And we know that it doesn't. You know why it doesn't? Because the rabbis, we have to refine what we said. It's still my way. We treat like a tameh met b'shivri shilo as tumav met on the seventh day. So therefore, it's still tameh met nafkamina tameh adam, but you don't need hazaah. Beautiful. So the Gemara says only one problem. We have a statement by Parah Adumah. There's no hiddushim by the Parah Adumah. Humrot yes, but hiddushim no. Now this is a hiddush. We're creating a new type of tumah. To admit b'shivri shilo. So the Gemara is going to answer like this. I thought the outside, then we'll read it inside. This is not considered a hiddush. Because this can happen. Hiddush means to make an innovation in a tum'ah that doesn't exist. This type of tum'ah happens all the time. A person is tamimit on his seventh day. So they didn't go against the laws of tum'ah. They just put a status of this guy as tamimit b'shivri shilo. What would it be a hiddush? I'll give you an example. If you remember, we learned by a zav. Whatever a zav sits on is mekabel tumah. But based on words from the Torah, the item that he sits on, the zav, has to be designated for sitting. A chair, a couch. Correct? But let's say he sits temporarily, he turns a basket upside down, right? He sits on the back of it. There's no tumat midras on that. Because it's not designated for sitting. Sometimes the people, when they were working, right, in the fields, let's say, they would turn over the basket and they would sit on it. And the other guy that's working with them would say, Amod vin asim minachtenu. Come on, get up, let's go back to work. See, that's not a place where you sit, it's a temporary sitting. So that item was either called, let's say, it was called a tarkav, for example. Tarkav is an abbreviation of tereh and kav. Tereh kav is two, tereh kav, and one kav, so that's three kav. That's a basket or a sal that can fit three kav, which is three kav is half of se'ah. Se'ah has six kav, so if it's a half a se'ah, so they would turn it over and they would sit on it. There's no, and even if the guy was a zav, there's no tumah. You know what a hadush would be? Hadush would say that tarkav, if the zav sat on it, has tumah. Meaning, for parah adumah, we're going to be mahmir. That this item is considered tum'at za'at. Now that's a hadush because you're creating a new tum'at that doesn't exist. Shivi'i, that's a tum'at. We're not making up a new tum'at, which means there is a tum'at on the seventh day of a person's process that is tamemet. But to come along and now revamp the laws of tum'at v'tahara, for example, and say that if a za'af sat on the back of a basket, it's going to make tameh, that's a hadush. So lo matzinu, even though we found a lot of humrot by parah adumah, but we never found a hiddush that went against the regular standing laws of tumah. And the Gemara says that inside. Gemara says, "V'atanya me'olam lochay chudavar b'para amar v'yesh shelo amru kordom metamim moshav." They never said that a kordom would be like a axe or spade. They never said a spade is mitamim moshav. The guy sits on the back of his spade, that is going to be mitamim moshav. Kedetanya, v'ayoshev al akli. Right, so the zav who sits on a kli. Yachol kafa se'ah v'yashav alia. Let's say he turned over the se'ah. Se'ah is the name of a container, the type of a basket. He turned it over. Tarkav v'yashav alia. Oh, he turned over the tarkav. That's the basket that fits three se'ah. And he turned it over. I'm sorry, three kav. and he turned it over. Yashav alav is written in the past tense. Yashav is mashma that he sat on. I mean, it's usually designated for sitting. That pukeh, this case over here, where the guy sits down, they tell him, get up, go back to work. So that would be considered a chiddush. And that's what means, lo asu chiddush bepara. They never innovated a tum'ah that is not around. Look at that sheet, let's read that inside. Shelo amru kardom metameh moshav. Kelomar, lo natnu tum'ah bepara. לכלי שאינו ראוי לטומאה, כגון לומר קורדום שאינו מיוחד לישיבה, ואינו נעשה אב הטומאה במושב הזב, ונורמלי דוסו ביקם אין אב הטומאה במושב הזב, שיהיה בפרה, שמי יטמא בפרה, אבל בכלי הראוי לקבל טומאה, חדשו בה לעשותו שאינו נוגע במה כנוגע כבאמת, which means, but they did make innovations that a kidney that didn't come in contact with a met will treat it as if it did come in contact. Okay, that's a chumrah, but it's a chumrah that's following the laws of Tumavetara, I mean, this shekel fed it. They treated it as tumat met. I ask you, did this shekel fed it come in contact with a met? No, it didn't. But the rabbis are treating it as if it did. But at least it's following the normal rules. It's not breaking the rules of tumat to innovate and say a kordom is going to be metameh moshav. Now, why did they put these stringencies by para aduma? So the Gemara explains the reason why they put these stringencies is to compensate for the leniency that they had. Which means the leniency was that a tevul yom is kasher. So since they were lenient more than the tzedukim, so they had to add a lot of stringencies to overcompensate so the people will not become mizalzel with the laws of para aduma. Okay, so that's the subject. So basically, somebody would ask you a question, who's the author of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah can even be the Bidi Ezer. If somebody asks, Kelim anigmarim betara, the Haver was careful. If it's for Kodesh, doesn't matter, you have to dip it. What are you worried about? It's in Rav Da'am Aris. That's still moist. After you dip it, could you use it right away? Yes. Oh, so what's their care for Parah Adumah? No, because Parah Adumah, it's Kedim HaNigmarim B'Tara, the guy that made the Shavuot Feret. It's also, he was careful, but there, they didn't put a regular Tumah on it. They put Tumat Met on it. Oh, Tumat Met normally needs Erev Shemesh. And we're not going to do Erev Shemesh. Hainu de'ika ekera le'tzedukim. Aye, where's your hazah? No, it's tumat met b'yom shvi'i. Aye, that's a hadush. That's not a hadush. There exists such a tumah. Hadush would be to say that the spade of the zav is metamem moshav. Okay, now we go to the next part. Hakli mitzaref ma shebetocho lekodesh aval lo letruma. Okay, we learned in the Mishnah. You have a keli. You have Kodesh in the keli. If one part of the Kodesh is touched, no. The whole Kodesh in the keli becomes Tameh. The Kli unites everything. Then you have a keli. It's Kodesh in the keli. Everything is considered united. Masha'ekim b'truma. B'truma, let's say you have pieces of teruma in the keli. Yeah? Let's say the teruma touches one of the pieces. Let's say now that piece becomes a sheni. It'll make the piece that's next to it, that's touching it, a shilishi, and that's it. A shilishi cannot make a revi'i b'terumah. And we don't say that the whole keli is considered uniting all the pieces. Mashegim b'kodesh, one piece becomes tameh, it's considered it touches everything, even if it's not touching. Why? Because the kli unites everything by kodesh. That's a chumrah by kodesh. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you know this? So the Gemara says, הכלי מצרף באש בדבו לקודש אבל לא לתרומה מנה נמידה אמר רב חנין ואמר קרא כף אחת עשרה זהב מדעה כתורת. We know that when they brought the korban of the Nesi'im, the inauguration of the Mishkan, it says they brought כף אחת, one spoon that had in it כתורת. Now what do you have to tell me one spoon? Just tell me כף. כף מדעה כתורת. Kaf achat asarat zahab min aketoret, filled with ketoret. That ketoret is Kodesh. That's the incense. So the Gemara says, "Katuv asao lechol ma shebekaf achat." The Torah is going out of its way to tell me everything in the kaf is considered one kaf, ahat. Masha bekaf, ahat. Nafkamina. If somebody touched one of the granules of the ketoret, the whole ketoret becomes tameh. Kaf ahat. The kaf is ma'achad everything. And ketoret is kodesh. Matid Rav Kana. Rav Kana has a question. Hosif Rabbi Akiva. Now, this statement, Hosif Rabbi Akiva, you have to know the context of the statement. He added. That means somebody was talking before Rabbi Akiva. Who was talking before Rabbi Akiva? Rashi tells us it was actually Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, in the beginning of this Mishnah, made a statement. I'll tell you the statement outside. Efer Hatat Shenaga Tameh B'miksato Pasal Et Kulo. Paraduma case. Efer Hatat, that's the ashes of the Paraduma. A Tameh guy touched part of it, the whole thing becomes Tameh. Rashi tells us that is clearly a Drabbanan Din. How do we know it's Drabbanan Din? Because even if you want to say you have a pasuk kafahat asar azhar melak ketor, that was said by Kodesh. We don't have any pasukim by Paraduma. Paraduma is not Kodesh, that's Hatat, it's a different level. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon was giving a rabbinical deen over here. You should know that about time, Drabbanan, if you have the Efra para, somebody touches Miksato, it's posel kulo. Now comes Rabbi Akiva. Hosif Rabbi Akiva. Now you know the context of this statement. Hosif Rabbi Akiva. Now, if it's being hosif, that means he's talking on the rabbinical level. So give us more cases Rabbi Akiva that the same law is going to apply. So he says, Hosif Rabbi Akiva has solet. Solet is the granules of flour of the minha. Heketoret. Ketoret. That's the incense. That libona, libona is the frankincense. Either that's the libona that they put on the minha, or the libona they used to put on the shulchan with the lechem panim. Vagihalim, that's the coals that they used to have on the mizbeah for the ketoret. Sheim nagar tevul yom b'miksato. If a tevul yom, a guy went to the mikveh, but didn't have erev shemesh. He's tameh still. He touched part of it. Pasal et kulo. Vehad rabbanani. And we know that Rabbi Akiva's law is midrabbanan. It's a rabbinical enactment. How do you know? Mimai midiktani resha. Because we know the context of the beginning of the statement. He'id Rabbi Shimon ben Betera al efer chattat shenaga hatameh b'miksato shetimeh et kulo. Now we know that that is midrabbanan. The efer apara case. Viktani yosif Rabbi Akiva. So what do you see? You see over here that this law of Kodesh saying that what? That if one part was touched, we consider everything Tameh. It's not a Deoraita. You just quote me the Hanin, Kaf, Ahat, Asar, Azam, like you call me a Pasuk. That's all. It's Rashba, it's only a Deen. The Rabbanan. Look. Gemara says, Amar Shekib Shum Bar Kapara. Lo Nitzlecha Ela Lishiure Minha. We're not talking about the minha. We said solit, right? So we're talking about a minha. No. Minha needs a keli. The minha is in the keli, yes? When you go to the mizbeah, the kohen, he has to have the minha in the keli. That's one of the avodot. There? That's the oraita. For sure, if you touch part of the solit, the whole thing is going to become tameh. We're not talking about that. But you said solit. No, we're talking about the leftovers. After the kohen takes the komets and puts it on the mizbeah, now you have the leftovers. It's called shiure minha. Shiure minha don't need a keli. Which means you don't have to have a keli when it comes to the leftovers of the minha. And that's when he was coming along and telling us that min deoraita, if it needs a keli, the keli is mitzaref everything, deoraita, it's all considered like one. Midrabbanan, even if it doesn't need a keli, we're also going to charge it with the din of one. So they were really Kodesh, that it's considered one, is a Deoraita. What's the solid that we're talking about? Shiyure Minha, the remnants of the Minha that doesn't need a keli. And still the Miyakimah's Hadush is, Midrabbanan, the Kli unites it. Nafkamina, you touch part of it, the whole thing's going to become Tameh. And the Gemara says that. Deoraita, the Lord of Deoraita, Sarich Le Kli, if it needs the Kli, that would be like the regular mincha that needs the kli. Hakli mitzarfo. She'en sarich le kli. If it doesn't need the kli, like the shiurim mincha, because after he does the comments, what do? Empty it out. You don't need the kli. En directly mitzarfo. The atu rabbanan, the rabbis came along, the gazru, the afalgav, the enot sarich likli, kli mitzarfo. Beautiful. So everything we answered nice. Really, the law of kodesh is deoraita. Kaf achat azaraza belaketoret. I, Rabbi Akiva, you told me it's rabbinical, the solet case? No, that's about the minshure solet. Well, that's okay. Tinah solet. Ketoret ulbona ma'ika lemimar. But one of the cases you said, Rabbi Akiva, was ketoret. Now, the ketoret is in a kli. And still you're telling me it's only medrabanan. What do you mean? Rav Hanin, you just told me kaf achat asar azav kol mas shebekaf ze achat as deoraita here Rabbi Akiva is tami ketoret it's rabbanan. No. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Babar Abu Kegon she savran al gabe kartabla. What did he do? So the Mefashim explain like this. He put the ketoret in a kli sharet. You have to put it in a kli sharet. Needs a kli. After you put it in the kli sharet, he poured it on a leather spread, which means you have a leather mat, for example. So you followed all the halachot. Kafahat, you put it in the kli. After he put it in there, he laid it, he mounded it up on a flat mat. Now, when it's on this flat leather mat over here, Rabbi Akiva is going to tell me this item, Minat Torah, should not unite the Ketoret. Why? Because it doesn't have a bit kibul. It doesn't have a receptacle. Which means, Minat Torah, only kelim that have a receptacle have the ability to mitzaref. But an item that doesn't have a receptacle, Minat Torah, should not mitzaref. Came to Rabbi Akiva and said, even if you put the Ketoret on a kar tabla, it'll be mitzaref. So again, he's talking in the rabbinical level, nothing to do with kafahat, which means Rabbi Akiva will agree. When it's in the kaf, kafahat, the kaf is mitzaref, the whole ketoret, therefore you touch part of it, all things will become tameh. What's our case of ketoret? It's not in the kaf, it's in a kar tabla. And therefore, why is it only in the rabbanan? Because it doesn't have a bet kibul. Let's read that inside. Deoraita, minatura, yesh lo toch. Mitzaref. If it has a toch, if it has a bet kibul, it'll be mitzaref, mashe betocho. En lo toch, enu mitzaref. Deatu rabbanan, vetiknu, dafagav, de en lo toch, mitzaref. So therefore, we now have clarity. Rav Hanin holds deoraita when it's in a keli sharet. For example, kafahat asara zav mena ketoret. When you put the ketoret in the kaf, you touch part of it, kli's mitzaref. Hey, Rabbi Akiva, you said the din is the rabbanan. I don't know. I was talking in two cases. First, I was talking about the shiurim and ha. We don't even need a keli. Mm-hmm. And the hadush is, even though you don't need a keli, still it has the ability to become tameh if you touch part of it, mitzrabanan. And even better, if you put the ketoret on an item that doesn't have a bet kibul, also mitzrabanan, the item that doesn't have a bet kibul has the ability to mitzaref. But when you put it in a keli, and it needs the keli, and the keli has a bet kibul, then it's the deoraita. That what? If you touch part, the whole thing is going to become tameh. Yeah? Comes the Gemara and concludes, this is ufliga terav hanin ad rabbi hayab bar abba. Rav Hayab bar Abba argues on Rav Hanin. Rav Hanin held the deen is a deoraita. Rav Hayab is going to say it's all midrabbanan. This whole deen of kli mitzaref mashe bekodesh. Why? Tamar Rav Hayab bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, me'eduto shel Rabbi Akiva nishnit mishnah zu. Rav Hayab says our mishnah that said kodesh, when you put it in the keli, it's mitzaref everything, and if you touch one, Rav Hayab said, you know what's the real mishnah? Rabbi Akiva. Oh, so it must be he learned to be Akiva that he was holding that there's no deoraitas bichlal. Which means our case is regular kodesh in a keli. He says, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva. That means in principle, Rabbi Hayat doesn't hold that it's a deoraita. Rav Hanin held kafahat, asaraza, milakit, it's a deoraita. Rav Hayat said, no. Rabbi Akiva is the author of our Mishnah, and Rabbi Akiva is all talking in the rabbinical level, and therefore you see that the Hayat doesn't hold that this Kodesh business of being mitzaref is the Oraita Bichlal. How? Let's read Rashi. Look at Rashi, Dibura Mathil Ufliga. Ufliga had Rav Hanin Damar Le'el Siruf De'oraita. That which Rav Hanin said Siruf is De'oraita above, it's arguing at Rabbi Hiya Bar Abba. Why? Because our Mishnah is talking about Siruf in a Keli, right? And who did Rav Hiya say the author of the Mishnah is? Rabbi Akiva. Because he must learn Rabbi Akiva that the whole thing is Midrabbanan, which means he's holding the deen of Siruf is following the Shita of Rabbi Akiva of the Braita, which is a deen of the Rabbanan. Therefore, he must be arguing on the opinion of Rav Hanin that holds it is a deen, the Oraita. Let's get inside here, please, and we'll conclude. And he says here, which means it was on the basis of Rabbi Akiva's testimony that we just read, that this Mishnah of ours in Hayya was taught, that is our Mishnah's statement, that a vessel combines its Kodesh contents is derived from Rabbi Akiva's testimony. Now why did you need Rabbi Akiva's testimony? Why don't you just say it's a pasuk of the Torah, kafahat asra zavara ketoret? Must be, he doesn't hold that pasuk. He must hold that pasuk is just an asmachta, and really it's a whole deen de Rabbanan, and therefore he's arguing on a pahani that says the deen is the oraita, which is if I have a pasuk, do I need Rabbi Akiva's testimony? He should have said, the Mishnah is based on Kafahat Aslazah Mila Ketoret. And they didn't say that. Must be all, it's really all the Rabbanan.